Welcome to The Gateway, your compass through the magical waters of the spirit communication, broadcast live from United Public Radio, 107.7 FM New Orleans. I'm your host, C.L. Thomas. It's been one of those weeks, guys. I'm a little bit off at the moment, and it's only Tuesday. I've been running around like crazy all day trying to get ready for this trip to New York tomorrow. And I'll be on the East Coast for the next 2 weeks. That said, next week I will be absent from the show, but I will have a rerun. I haven't decided which one I'm going to rerun yet. But my guest that I had for that night, he's going to move to a different date. So again, I won't be here next week, but there will be a rerun of some sort. The paranormal world itself seems kind of quiet out there. I'm not sure what's going on. I know there's some paranormal shows and conventions going on. But something that crosses into the metaphysical side of things in paranormal investigations seem to be crystals and herbs. I know a lot of people out there right now who run around with crystals in their bras and in their beds and in their water containers. They're everywhere. So tonight we're going to talk about if stones and herbs work and what do they actually do, especially in the paranormal field. Certified alchemist and certified elemental healer from the Chicago area, Candy Slater joins me. Candy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
I know it's going to storm there any minute where you are.
Yeah. It's coming down now, so if I drop out, I apologize.
So, Candy, how is Chicago these days?
About 3 hours from me, so I haven't been there in a while.
Okay.
I'm over in Iowa.
Oh, so. I thought you were in Chicago for some. I guess it's because the convention.
Time zone. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's start with you telling us about how you got into the paranormal.
Well, for the longest time, I'll be honest, I thought paranormal was hocus pocus. Like, I didn't believe in any of it. And I was one of those terrible wives. I drug my husband to every concert imaginable for a summer, you know, like things like boy band review, things guys don't want to go to. We got to the fall and I said, now what are we going to do? And he says, we're going to go on a paranormal investigation. I said, yeah, right. That's hocus pocus. I don't believe it. Don't want anything to do with it. Well, long story short, he convinced me. I said, fine, you did everything I want. I'll try it once. But it better be good and I better like it. I went, I had an experience where I got choked, held down in a bed. Yeah, it was crazy. So about 6 months later, I find out he's a medium. And so we started doing a whole bunch of investigating, which led me into getting my Reiki certification and things to help him when he does his channeling, and that led me into the crystals and the herbs and all sorts of the fun stuff.
That's very interesting. So your husband, how did he realize that he was a medium? I have another friend who he's going through the same process. He's realizing that he can hear from the other side, and it's been this whole ongoing life-changing thing for him. So how was your husband? How did he handle it and how did he find out about it?
For him, it was when he was 12 years old, after his grandfather passed away, he could still see and have conversations with his grandfather. And when he would tell his parents about it, they basically thought he was crazy. So as he was watching a show, he said on TV, Paranormal Kids, and he realized, whoa, that's what's happening to me. But nobody would believe him. So he suppressed it for the longest time, threw him into a bad depression. That's why when he met me, he did not want to tell me, especially when I'm calling it hocus pocus. You know, he didn't want to tell me. And the way I found out, we were at Ashmore Estates. And he's walking down a hall looking like he's holding somebody's hand. I'm like, what is going on? And another medium looked at me at the time and goes, he's got it. And I'm like, he's got what? And they came out and were saying, yeah, he's a medium. He sees this. She goes, this is what I'm seeing. She goes, watch this. And she asked him some questions and he said the same things that she was seeing. And it was like, okay, the stuff is real. And now he's been more open with it. So
yeah. I think a lot goes on whenever someone realizes that they're a medium. You go through like a lot of internal things, questioning, you think you're crazy, that sort of thing. A few years ago, I've always been able to see the other side for as long as I can remember. And my earliest memory is of seeing ghosts in my room and stuff. But I didn't really start calling myself a medium until probably just months ago. I would never call myself a medium. And it was because I see so many people on television and everywhere else that's claiming to be a medium all of a sudden. So I thought, well, you know, I don't want to be roped into that kind of stuff, I guess. So I don't know
that's
if your husband
the way really- he is. He doesn't tell people. He'll use it, but that's how you find out he's a medium. He doesn't just come right like you. He's not real keen on the
world. I do house walks sometimes for paranormal investigation people, investigators and different groups and things like that. And I do work on hard cases, like really hard paranormal cases. I have one right now actually here in Vegas. That's pretty heavy, but I got called in to try to communicate with the spirits there and calm it down a little bit. And I do spirit art, but I don't actually do like, I guess, mediumship. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I do. I don't know. It's a hard question.
So yeah, I don't know. It's different for everybody how they do it. So yeah, you probably do and don't realize it.
And I know like people have, does he have like spirit guides and all of that?
Yeah.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Yeah. So we're supposed to talk about crystals and gems and herbs. Mm-hmm. You are an alchemist. What exactly, you're a certified alchemist. Mm-hmm. What exactly is that?
Technically, you know, on the scientific side, alchemy is, you know, the transformation of things into gold. Well, obviously, in the spiritual world, that's not it. But alchemy, transforming yourself, or you know, energies. So yeah, I can help transform negative energies to positive. Use a lot of crystals and, like you said, herbs to do that.
Are you one of those that have them in your bra and things? I don't want to like tell too many secrets.
I don't put them in my bra, but I always have something on my wrists or in my pocket. It's terrible when I do laundry because I'm always stuffing crystals in my pockets, depending on what I'm feeling that day of what I need. Yeah, I always got something. And it's awesome because now I've got my mother who's slowly getting into it. And the other day it was, well, this is going on. You got something that can help me do this? And it's like, yep, you need this, this, and this. And she's like, okay.
So what kind of crystals do you use and what are they for?
Oh, God. This whole room I'm sitting in, I got crystals all over. It really depends on what you're doing. Like one of them I always wear is obsidian. That absorbs negative energies. So it does need to be cleansed a lot. So I'm always, you know, coming home, water and some Epsom salts to cleanse it to get rid of the negative energies. But yeah, I personally like black obsidian because it absorbs the negative energies instead of just deflecting it back out. So it absorbs it, keeps you, you know, helps clear the energy around you. So okay. All sorts. It really depends on what I'm going to do, what crystals, but like paranormal wise, I always have black obsidian with me.
So if my friend wanted, he's been trying to communicate with the spirit world to try to help him learn how to communicate better with the spirit world. Are there gemstones that he could use for that?
There definitely is. Depending on what he's drawn to, like angelite, celestite, and I'm drawing a blank right now, but there's several different ones depending. Different people are called to different stones. So it would be I would recommend checking out those and, you know, see which one he's more drawn to.
And what about herbs? What are the uses for those in the paranormal world?
Like I now, whenever I go in my cleansing kit, I always have copal resin, which resin, not an herb, but that along with like mugwort and black cohosh. I was at an investigation once and someone else who was there had an attachment that would not leave them. And we had to take them outside, do some Reiki on them, and was using the herbs, you know, put them on a charcoal disc and burned them and used the smoke to help cleanse that energy out of them.
Copal, I think it was Mexico, the Mayans used a lot of that copal.
Yes, that's exactly what I use, Mayan copal.
I love that. I like the smell of it. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the spirit boxes that have the crystals tied into them?
Mm-hmm. Yes, clear quartz.
What exactly is going on with these spirit boxes that are using those?
Amplifies the energy. Clear quartz, wonderful stone, amplifies energy. It can take on properties of any crystal. So there are some people that'll take their clear quartz and be like, oh my God, I wish I had black obsidian with me right now, and kind of meditate with it and, you know, protect me like black obsidian would. So yeah, but with those boxes, it's using it to amplify all that energy, help make it easier for them to communicate.
Do you use that yourself when you investigate?
Yes. Yep. That, and we always have black obsidian, selenite for some cleansing, and clear quartz are always with us. And then depending on where we're going, whatever's calling, I know it sounds crazy, but whatever's calling to us before we leave to take with us, that's what we take.
Does ground ore, such as places that have like a lot of limestone or a lot of, I know like Nashville had a lot of limestone. Out here we have a lot of quartz and gypsum. Does that affect the way does that attract spirits to these locations?
Personally, I think so, yes. And we're in Dubuque. I live in Dubuque, Iowa. And we're surrounded by limestone, like literally everywhere you go, limestone. And different friends who come visiting from different states, as soon as they come in, say, oh my God, the energy's here. The limestone, that being, along with being so close to the Mississippi River, it amplifies that energy so much. So yeah, it makes it, gives them extra energy to communicate with us.
You know, a little off topic comment, Nashville, I lived there for a long, long time. It's full of limestone. You can't even have basements and stuff because of the rock there. Mm-hmm. They don't have basements. But the Native Americans that used to occupy that area, they wouldn't live in Nashville. It's like a bowl, right? So there, mm-hmm. It's surrounded by like little, they're not mountains. They're, I guess, hills is what they call them, but it's literally a bowl. And the natives wouldn't live in there. They said it was grounds of bad energy. And I always wondered if it was, you know, the energy attracted from the limestone that they were picking up on.
It could be, or, you know, what happened on that property previous. That limestone absorbs energy, you know, absorbs and sends out that energy. So who knows what. Trying to think, were there battles? There were some battles that took place during the Civil War down by Nashville, wasn't there?
Yes.
So that could, yeah.
Yeah, Nashville has a really interesting history, and not too far outside of Nashville, there's a lot of mounds, like Native American mounds and things. It's just a really neat area.
Yeah.
Around the whole thing. Here, we have howlite, we have borax, and we have gypsum, and we have a lot of crystal mm-hmm. and rock, aside from the silver and gold that's everywhere. And The energy in Vegas is kind of weird as well, in Nevada in particular. There's so many weird stories out in the desert and stuff.
So, I noticed when we went to Arizona this last summer, like you said, the energy is so different, and I'm used to like the limestone and the lead and things that we have around here. And we were walking through a cemetery and it's like, there's no grass. It's all like little brown, dead twiggy things sticking up, but everywhere you look, clear quartz. It's like, oh my God. And Derek was in that cemetery for a while and he's like, I have to shut it down. He's like, it is just so intense in here.
Yes, hey, Todd. It is Nashville that I lived in. I lived there 16 years or so. I moved because I was hit by a tornado a few years ago.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I miss it, but I don't miss it. You know, it's one of those things. I'm kind of learning that I've lived all over the country now, and I'm learning that anywhere can be home as long as you make it your home.
Exactly. No.
Back to your point on the energy. One of the things I find out here a lot is purple amethyst out in the desert. I find that stuff everywhere. It's in turquoise. What can those be used for?
Oh God. Turquoise, very calming, and they're associated with your throat chakra, helping you with communication with people. Love turquoise. Amethyst, you know, of course, that's got some love. Calming, very calming stone, helps also with the third eye. Depending on the type of amethyst, it can help with your dreams, and a lot of people sleep with amethyst depending on the type.
So what else do you use? What can you suggest?
Carnelian, if you're needing more energy, if you're really tired and sluggish, have carnelian with you. They call it like the caffeine of crystals. It brings energy. God, there's just so many everywhere I'm looking. I'm going, oh, all of these. Fluorite is wonderful. And it was so crazy because about 2 years ago, I had a tooth that was acting up, you know, and it was over the weekend. And I'm like, oh, I can't get into the dentist till Monday. Believe it or not, I put fluorite in my pocket and I had a necklace that I was wearing. I swear it was helping with the pain. And then I was doing some research on it and I'm like, oh, fluorite. That's where fluoride. I'm going, okay, that makes sense. Just so many common things. One thing I do in every window in the house, there's a little glass container, just a small little jar with Epsom salts and rose quartz in it. When the sun and everything, it's bringing in any energies and lights that come in, it brings in that warmth and love and happiness. And the salt is there for cleansing anything. If anything negative is trying, the salt cleanses it. So then I just once a month dump the salt out and put new salt in and cleanse the quartz.
Speaking of salt, when people, this is going to be a Pandora's box to get into weeds a little bit. I know there's a lot of arguments about whether sage works or not, but it depends on the person, right? What works for whoever's using it.
To me, it depends on, I agree. It depends on the person. I will use it for things, but it doesn't seem to last as long. Like copal, I use the copal resin. Mix that sometimes with like benzoin resin, which is great if you're doing things with angels. I use Palo. I get little chips of Palo and put that in and burn that. But yeah, you know, and other people swear by it. And I think a lot of it is intention. If you're believing it's going to work, by all means, keep using it. Don't let somebody say, well, it doesn't work. Just stop it. Because if it works for you, keep doing it.
That's interesting, too. It is about intention. I think I say that in just about every show so far.
Yeah. It's, you know, what works for me might not work for you. you know, we're all different. So God, I just keep looking at everything that's like, oh yeah, that, like one of the things, a friend taught me this and it has worked wonders. Do you have hardwood floors?
I do. Yes.
Okay. Take a little bit of water. If you have dead sea salt, preferably dead sea salt, otherwise, like Epsom salt, or even if just plain table salt, a little bit of cinnamon, and it's this blue powder that comes from Portugal called blue azul powder. You put a little bit of that in your water and take your rag or your mop and wipe it on the floors. And as you're doing it, my friend taught me, she says, you say water to cleanse, blue powder to seal and protect, salt to ground and purify, and cinnamon for prosperity and abundance. You'll notice a huge energy shift in your house.
I'm gonna try that. Amazing.
It really does. We use it a lot, especially, you know, the hardwood you can do it on laminate, tile, anything. And if you don't have tile, put it in a spray bottle and just kind of spray some in the air. But don't do the mistake I did. I put too much blue powder in the first time. I stained things. It's like, oops.
Oh, no.
But with us going paranormal investigating, just helps, you know, you never know what's on your clothes, you know, that funk mm-hmm. that gets on your clothes and things when you come home. So it's always nice when you come home and everything's all that great positive energy. And
so I want to ask you, people always ask me what frankincense is used for and why people use frankincense in myrrh. And that goes way back to biblical times. Are there historical things to using gems and herbs and all of this?
Oh God, yeah, a lot of it does go back to history. Like they talk about Cleopatra used to grind up, is it lapis? I could be wrong, but she used to grind up a blue stone, and that's, they say, what she used, like eyeshadow, like the powder, something. I don't, you know, there's all sorts of things, and they talk about, you know, the different energies of this. God, there's so many, and I'm just getting hit with all of them. But yeah, there's like frankincense and myrrh. I make these bath salts, and I use the oils, frankincense and myrrh, for cleansing and grounding and purifying.
Do you, in a sense, kind of evoke can you invoke a certain ancestry when you're using certain herbs that have some kind of historical relevance, like copal, for instance? Can you, in a sense, invoke the ancestry of lions for protection or clearing? And the same mm-hmm. goes for, I don't know a whole lot about the Vikings and what they used, but as far as herbs, and I'm assuming they use something.
They use something, and I just can't remember. There's so many to remember them all. I have to go back to books occasionally. But yeah, you definitely can. If you know, especially if you work with your spirit guides a lot. I have a friend that whenever she wants to work with a certain spirit guide, she drinks a lemongrass tea that she makes, and she actually burns, what is it? Not benzoin. She burns another type of resin that calls in that particular spirit guide.
So do you make your own resin?
No. I get it from different shops. We have an herb shop over in Galena, just across the river. I get a lot of it there. Some of it you can grow yourself, like your mint or your, you know, we actually have Russian sage out back. We use some of that. When I went to Arizona, oh, that was so much fun. When we went to Arizona, everywhere you go, there's sage bushes. We were out there trimming my friend's sage bushes and making bundles of sage. Huge bag of sage coming home with me, and it was just Yeah.
You can
get so much on your own and dry it in a food dehydrator.
I don't, but you know, I live in a desert, so all I do is I bundle it and then I hang it out back, and within a week it's dry.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The other thing we have a lot of is rosemary, so I bundle a lot of rosemary.
Yes.
Sometimes I mix them with the sage.
Yeah, we did that. We had, and then there was this, what was it called? They look like cactus, but they're not. They're kind of straight. They like all straight and pointy, and they get these. They're almost like a hosta, but it's not. It's more brownish gray, and they got these. They're tall little flower things that kind of go up almost like a candy cane, and some of them stand up straight, but little pink flowers on them. Oh, what were they called? Maybe yucca? But there was something out in the desert, and we were cutting that and putting that in it, and lantana, I think, that too. There were so many different things that we were.
It's kind of like being in a candy shop here.
Yes. Yeah,
everything it was. In the desert, it's, and right now, because it's rained so much, we have flowers everywhere. It's gorgeous.
Nice. Are you out there harvesting them all and drying them?
No, you know, I haven't done that yet, because I don't really know what all the flowers are out here just yet. But there's this one, and it grows on a prickly pear. It's bright, velvety pink, and it's so gorgeous. Yes. Those are out right now.
Oh, those are beautiful. Those are.
So I think Todd has asked, what is fire agate?
Oh, God. He would get one that I just haven't worked a lot with it, but I bet that's one of them that comes from his area over there in Tennessee and Kentucky. Todd, if you're still on, can you help me?
Another thing, if you've ever been to Gatlinburg, they have a lot of quartz too that you can collect, and they also have fossils.
That'd be fun. I have not got to do that.
You don't work with fossils at all?
I haven't. I have a couple, but I haven't worked with them yet.
Gotcha. So I have a little bit of a dumb question because I really don't know. You practice elemental healing.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Working with the elements and the elementals. When I do my Reiki, I incorporate that in with it. So when I call them in and they help, like, do different cleansing things, or I'm sitting here talking with my hands again, I'm sorry. cleansing, you know, grounding, a lot of that, depending on what you need. When I call them in and use them and the crystals to amplify everything.
So everybody thinks that the Fae are not so nice, or elementals aren't very nice.
I remember when someone first learned that I worked with them, said, oh, they're little effers, don't work with them. I haven't had that problem. I'm very respectful with them, you know. It goes to intent. You know, if you're working with them, and I always thank them, release them. You can give them an offering, like if you've worked with them, set something outside for them, and like oranges or, you know, something, set something sweet out. They the fairies, they love candy. I leave little candy things out there. I've never had a problem. But yeah, some people have said they're nasty. So personally, I think it's intent. And what you thought, you know, kind of if you meet somebody and you think, oh, they're going to be a nasty person, you're probably not going to like them. But if you go in and say, hey, I like that person, Todd hit it perfect. Thank you, Todd. He helped me with my wording. You get what you give with elementals. That's a perfect way to put it.
I always thought that that was like a British thing, you know, something that's over in Ireland somewhere. In the first time I connected with elementals was in California, and I had no idea that they were even here.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you appease them? Like, what do you use specifically?
I use a lot, like the fruit, oranges, depending on what I've done, you know, sometimes lighting a candle and leaving it outside for them. Just bowl of fresh water, you know, if you're doing something with the water elementals, with the sylphs. It really depends on what you're doing.
Okay. What kind of energy can they bring in to help?
Like Todd said, if you're calling in and giving it incredible energy, they amplify it. A friend of mine was having a bad panic attack. We were in a crowd of people and, you know, just kind of put my hands on her shoulders, was doing some Reiki energy and called in a couple of the elementals and they calmed her right down. She's like, "You just did your thing." She goes, "I just felt the whoosh of energy." And she's like, she was good to go.
Let's see. How can someone use the crystals for paranormal communication? That's one of the questions I just got.
Okay. A lot of it, like the clear quartz, amplify. A lot of it goes back to, you know, their energy and amplifying it. There are different crystals like the celestite, and I always say that wrong. Todd's right. Energy work is absolutely amazing. So you're using the crystals in the energy to help communicate with the spirits. So like you, angelite, celestite, I can't remember. There's so many more, but if you're using those, they're great for different communications with the spirits.
What are some of the locations that you've been to?
Oh gosh. We were just this last weekend at Indiana State Sanatorium, because it was a tuberculosis ward. The haunted Rock Island Roadhouse, Villisca Axe Murder House, Farrar School, Old Baraboo Inn, Missouri State Penitentiary. So many, there's so many. Edinburgh Manor. Last December, Old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
Oh, you were in Tennessee?
Just for a couple days. Yeah, we flew in on a Friday and flew out on a Sunday.
What was that like? The hospital.
Incredible. You know, that was the one time in December I never thought I'd have to worry about a tornado warning. we were there and all of a sudden everybody's like, okay, the event's not getting started because there's tornado warnings. And then someone was saying that Nashville was wiped off the map by a tornado. And yeah, we got out of there. But oh my God, that place was incredible. The energy there, it was... Again, though, with all the water and stuff around there, it makes sense.
So do you, are there different species of elementals? I realize these might be stupid questions, but I'm not real familiar with the different elementals.
Like are you they said, all the fae, fairies, you got your sylphs, your gnomes, and everybody calls them different, you know, depending on where you're from and how you practiced it. But yeah, there's all sorts of different, mostly like you said, the fairies, what are they called? I just lost my brain. The fire, I always forget the fire one. I always call them salamanders, but they're not salamanders. but yeah, sylphs and gnomes. And then somebody, Todd, actually does a lot of work with the Sasquatch. So we had that experience, and some people were debating, are they like elementals or are they not? But that, we had our first experience. It was incredible. We were out at Indiana State Sanatorium and right along the woods, and they started doing this call. And I swear, you saw these little eyes peek out at you. They weren't fireflies, but they were like all of a sudden just these little, and they're like, what you just saw, that was their eyes. So that was an experience.
You know, a lot of the Native Americans here say that they're kind of like a shapeshifter almost, like they're from the spirit world.
Yeah, they were saying they were from the spirit world. Yeah, there's so much more for me to learn there because I'm very, very dumb when it comes to that because that was, like I said, my first experience and it was incredible.
Or, you know, it's weird because in the spirit world, there's different elements and I'm kind of losing my voice. I'm sorry. The first time I came in contact with the elementals in California, that was how I knew that's what they were. Like, it was in a haunted almond orchard of all places. And
oh, wow.
We saw, the person I was with saw them too. We would see like little 2-foot things running between the rows of this orchard, like right in front of us. We would see it run. And we actually caught one of them on film running across. But
oh, awesome.
If it's a human, I normally can pick up who it is. You know, it's a different energy thing. I could tap mm-hmm. into it, maybe communicate. These things, no. So, you know, that was like, okay, this is totally not human. I've never seen any. They're not demonic. I don't know what they are, right?
So yes, that's the nymphs.
But the Bigfoot thing too, that if they're like shapeshifters and things like that, would you be able to communicate with them?
I'm sure there's a way. I personally have not done that with Bigfoot. Like that was my first ever experience. It was so incredible. So I'm looking forward to do it again. But Todd says yes. Yeah, it was so incredible. They were doing this call. It was amazing to experience and see it.
I have a friend who Todd would like this. I have a friend in Kentucky and she's got a daughter and they live out in the middle of nowhere, right outside of Louisville. And her dog was barking at something in the woods and they live way out. I mean, there's nothing around there. I'm kind of scared of Kentucky. It's one of those places I just don't like to be in anyway. But her daughter picked up the phone and took a picture of whatever it was the dog was barking. And in the shadow, you see like this 6-foot figure with red eyes. And it looks like a shaggy Bigfoot. It's
wow. Crazy.
I'll have to post it again later. I'll post it on Facebook. So,
and tag. Yes.
So you can see it. But
oh, that would be awesome.
She sent me
that. They do a lot of work at Fort Duffield. And I guess they're all over out there.
There's also stories around Dixon, Tennessee, about Bigfoot encounters and things.
There we go. We're going to have to go on a Bigfoot investigation again.
Yeah. I know exactly where we can go. There's a big park right outside of Dixon that supposedly has Bigfoot.
Nice.
No. There's legends of it.
That's awesome. Remember. I love it.
So, Candy, we have about 15 minutes. I really want to talk about the show that's coming up, the paranormal convention that you have coming up.
Yes, yes. So, I'm so excited you're going to be there and I get to meet you in person.
Yes.
The Haunted Rock Island Roadhouse Paracon. And that's where anybody who is into paranormal crystals, the Bigfoot aspect, elementals, psychics. We're going to have over 115 vendors there. You're wow. actually in a haunted location. So instead of being, you know, at a hotel all in a convention room, you're actually going to be in the location itself, you know, so it's not going to be your black tie type event. It's going to be you're right in the location. All the money for it is going to the historic preservation of this building to, you know, get it back. Not that it's not in shape, but, you know, keep it preserved and help, you know, get like new roof on it, that type of thing. But we've got psychics, bone readers, tarot and oracle readers, healers, You're going to be there. You're going to get to give a there. You're going to be giving the presentation.
That's going to be giving a lecture.
Josh Purvis is going to be joining us. Sarah Lamos. I'm going to pronounce her name wrong, and I apologize. Sarah Lamos.
Sarah Lamos.
Michelle LeBaron.
LeBaron, yes. She's on this side of the country. She's over in Virginia City. She's my sister in Virginia City.
Awesome.
You'll love her.
I'm so excited. Mysterious Adventure Tours is bringing in a tour that's going to start in Chicago, stop along different haunted locations, and end in Rock Island at the Paracon. So
that's going to be so exciting. And I got to tell you, I really love the idea that you're having it in this old warehouse looking building kind of thing. I love that. And the reason being, because I feel like certain locations are used way too much, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And they've gotten really expensive. And I feel like now that they've been, it's kind of like, what's the way of saying it? Like the Bellwitch Cave. Everyone goes here year after year after year, and all of that energy is left over there. So I feel like it's overhunted. It's, you know, how many times do we got to hear about the Bellwitch Cave? We get it. We get the legend. Most of us experienced it already. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we overuse the same locations over and over and over.
Yes. So, this location has Get Haunted is actually going to lead a VIP investigation Saturday evening. So you'll have, there's the history in that building. John Looney, the mobster, who was Al Capone was afraid of him. And the only person that John Looney was afraid of was the madam who ran her Ladies of the Night out of the building, Helen Van Dale. There was a murderer that lived in the building, a boy that drowned. It's the best part is it is such a new location. It's not new. You know what I mean? It's so new, the paranormal investigating, that every time we go in there, the spirits are so eager. They want to communicate. They want to tell their story. And we're always getting new names and things. And then we go back and find the newspaper article that validates it. So it's going to be a great time.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's exciting.
I can't wait.
I'll be giving a lecture about some experiences that I've had with negative entities and the paranormal.
I'm looking forward to that. It'll be fun.
That tour you're talking about, Mysterious Adventures Tours, they're stopping at a little popular cemetery that I've always wanted to go to.
Yes. Is it Bachelor's Grove?
Bachelor's Grove, that's it.
Yes. Yeah. I want to get to that one too. It's so close, but yet I've never just got to stop and do it.
Have you investigated a lot of the mob stuff around the Chicago area?
More and more, because of the ties with Rock Island, than me being in Dubuque. Al Capone was big here. And I've recently got very involved as well with Old Baraboo Inn, OBI, which is in Baraboo, Wisconsin. That big with Al Capone, they actually have a pole in the basement that was, I don't know if you want to call it the murder or torture pole, but this where you there's whip marks still in it. There is actual still bullets in this pole. And the energy there is just insane. And Derek, when he was every time he goes there, if he's by that pole, he gets the visions of some of the things that happened there. And it's just so tragic. But we've tied it, you know, you can tie Al Capone between the two buildings. So that's, I like going, okay, now where else has Al Capone been? Where else might we run into him?
Well, I'll tell you, if you go to Tennessee, He was running a racket moonshining business in just outside of Chattanooga, and he, because of the railroad, he was able to move everything through through Chattanooga north and south and west. And so he was in hiding for a while on the top of Mount Eagle, and there's a little restaurant right on the top of the of Mount Eagle, and now it used to be his hideaway house.
So
you can also go to the Reed House in Chattanooga. I think it's under a different name now. It's a little hotel from the 30s, 20s, 30s.
Okay. Era.
It used to be called the Reed House. If you research Reed House, I'm sure it'll come up.
Okay.
But he was actually held there when they arrested him.
Wow.
I stayed in his room. I got to stay in his room. And they
said, how was that?
You know, I didn't connect with Al Capone, but there was a lady in there.
Okay.
I don't know who she was or anything, but yeah, that's what I connected with. It wasn't Al Capone, unfortunately. But I mean, he's been in the Tennessee area, so that house has not burnt down. It's actually a restaurant. It's an actual restaurant that's up and running for dinner.
Oh wow. Great.
Todd asked, I think that house burnt down a few years back. No, it's still in, it's still running. It's up. And also that park is called Montgomery Bell Park.
Okay.
In Tennessee.
When we were there, we stopped at, what was it called? Like where you head up to go to the spot where you could see seven states at once. There's that house. It's a white house and there's like a cabin there, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but
is that Lookout Mountain?
Yes, on Lookout Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, the energy is there. That was insane. That was we were headed to South Pittsburgh. It was so foggy you couldn't see 10 feet in front of you. So we didn't get to see seven states at once, but and then reading some of the history with what happened there, it was
coal mining industry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of a, Chattanooga's nice, but when you start getting out in the outskirts toward Knoxville and into more of the Appalachian areas, you really see the turmoil that happened with the coal mining industry up through there. You see some really hard luck people, I guess, through the mountains there.
Oh, yeah. But we didn't get that far. We were pretty much from the airport down to South Pittsburgh. We did stop in, yeah. We did that, what's it called? Ruby Falls,
yes.
That was nice. That was
Candy, I feel like you live in Tennessee. You know all these Tennessean places.
No, just those couple things, and that's it.
That's what I spent the last 16 years or so running around all the haunted places and eerie places of Tennessee.
But you had to have a good time, because just maybe I remember it so well because it was just back in December, but it was, I hated for it to end as far, you know, so much to, it's just scratching the surface of it.
Yeah. Well, Candy, we are out of time. Where can people find you, first of all? And what projects do you have coming up? And where can people purchase tickets for the convention?
Okay, so you can find me on Facebook as Candy Slater, or we started our team page, From the Ashes Paranormal. I do have a show on the Get Haunted Network that Catherine Cirillos and I just started on Sundays at 3 Eastern, 2 Central, where we do little metaphysical workshop type things. So it's called Oracle Whisperers. Doing some work with Get Haunted, and tickets for the Paracon. The big thing is the Paracon coming up, and you can get your tickets at Extreme Ticketing, and it's Extreme with an X, not with an E, Extreme Ticketing. And you'll be able to get your tickets for the Paracon, the bracelets. We're getting t-shirts made and a few other special one-of-a-kind things.
And for those listeners out there, if you cannot find the where to buy the tickets at on Extreme, go on over to my website, clthomas.org, under events. I have an events page up, and there is a link that goes directly to this event. It's Haunted Rock Island Roadhouse Paracon, Saturday, October 5th. And I'll be lecturing there. Candy's going to be there. There's going to be a whole lot of other people at this thing. You don't want to miss out. I think Paraflix is actually sponsoring it. Mm-hmm. We have a lot going on, so come out and see us for this. Candy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. That went so fast.
I know. It always does. Thank you. Another announcement that I have coming up in July, I will be in Virginia City for the Magical History Weekend at Piper's Opera House, July 12th through 14th. It's a weekend of talks, haunted histories, and a meet and greet with me and a lineup of other people. I think Dave Schrader is going to be there, and a bunch of others are coming out for this. You can find it. It's posted on Facebook. Tickets can be found on my website, clthomas.org. There's a link that goes directly to it. And below that event is also the Rock Island show. Do you have a spooky tale? Send it to info@clthomas.org for a chance to share your story on the Gateway. I'm collecting stories for a special project that I'm working on. So if you have one, send it to me, info@clthomas.org. I'm looking for creepy stories, Bigfoot, whatever you got, send it to me. You've been listening to The Gateway, your portal to the unexplained and mystical and otherworldly, broadcast live from United Public Radio 107.7 FM New Orleans. Stay safe. Until next time.